We're in week two of the series that we've entitled, In God We Trust? Last week, we were asking the question, how can I not worry about my needs? And we discovered that when we give our first and we give our best, it shows God that, God, you've got all of me. I'm all of yours. I'm completely inside the bucket. I'm all yours. You own everything. I just manage. And saying, God, I trust you with my needs. And we had some amazing flowers up here on the stage that were donated or were borrowed from Jung Garden Center here in Sun Prairie. We're excited that they partnered with us. But it was in response to Jesus saying, why do you worry about your needs? If God can take care of flowers and make sure they're so beautiful, can't he take care of you? You know, we also read from Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10, and it says this, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst, your wine vats will brim over. Today, we're asking this question. Is there anything wrong with giving some? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I will give you an opportunity to receive that hope today. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're going to be reading today out of the New Living Translation. You can look in your Bible or you can use your phone. And we highly recommend the Bible app that was made possible by Life.Church. And it has every translation of the Bible available. And we're going to be looking at NLT, or New Living Translation, of Acts chapter 5. And when you came in today, you should have received a bulletin. Inside your bulletin is some message notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill-in-the-blanks. The answers are going to be up on the screen as we go along. But let me set up the story of what is happening. The story of Acts is the beginning of the church. It is after Jesus has risen again, after he's gone up. He said, there's going to be a promise. I want you to wait, and then you're going to go tell everybody. Tell everybody the good news. And so the story of Acts is the story of the church beginning and people coming to know God and becoming a church family for the first time. And what's happening in Acts chapter 4, the previous chapter before Acts chapter 5, is it begins saying at the end, saying that the people were all in unity. The people that were part of the church, the people that were part of the church family, they were all in unity. And they were in one place where they said, hey, we want to make sure we take care of each other. We are so blessed by being able to be a part of God's family that we're going to make sure that everyone is taken care of. And it described that as the disciples were teaching and representing Jesus well and teaching what Jesus had said to them, that people were bonding together and saying, you know what, if there's anyone who has a need, I'll help you with it. They were being generous. They were going so far as that people were selling their homes and they were selling their land and taking that money and they were giving it so that nobody was in need. We're talking extreme generosity. And what we see is that in the first church, the people were saying, we're all in with God. If you could just imagine for a moment that there's a bucket right here. And when they made a decision for Jesus, it's like they stepped into the bucket. They said, you have all of me, God. And that means everything I own, everything I am, all my skills, abilities, everything. And the natural result of that was to be generous. And people were being overly generous at this time. As the Bible is describing that people were selling things, it points out one person in particular, a guy by the name of Joe or Joseph, or we later understand his name is Barnabas, that he had a piece of land and he sold it and he brought it to the disciples, said, here you go, disperse it, help people. And it's interesting that they would just point out this one guy who gave, who took what he had and said, hey, if God can use it, then I'm going to give it. Later on, he becomes instrumental in God using him to reach people in faraway lands. And it's amazing. But they're saying, here's the first time we hear about him. But in contrast to Barnabas or Joseph giving of his land, we pick it up in chapter 5 with another couple who says, I'm going to do the same thing. And so let's read in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says this, but there was a certain man named Ananias who with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Let's pray. God, I pray that today, as we unpack your word for us, as we dig deeper into this story, God, I pray that you reveal to us what it is that you want us to know, what it is you want to challenge us with today. God, help us to learn to really put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Who here likes scary stories? You like scary stuff? Who here does not like scary stuff? Oh, man. You know, that would be me. I was raised as a kid who was never allowed to watch a horror movie. Okay? And I can probably say to this day, I think I've only seen like less than this many fingers on my hand of horror movies. And anytime I see them, I'm just like thoroughly disgusted and like, I don't want to watch it. I don't want everything that goes along with the scary stuff because it's going to keep me up at night. It's going to scare me. And I'm going to be like, whoa, I'm never going anywhere in the dark again. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm going to be suspicious of people who like to walk around with goalie masks on, right? Yeah. All these things they come up with to scare us. Or, man, how is it that people are afraid of clowns? You know, in my sheltered childhood, clowns were a good thing, but apparently for some people, they were not sheltered, and clowns have been distorted and a source of horror and scariness and fear. Now, we're talking about some really scary things. As a matter of fact, the story we're delving into in Acts chapter 5 is, in my opinion, the scariest story in the entire Bible. The scariest story. So you just need to brace yourself. If you can find your imaginary seatbelt and just put it, click it together, put it on, because we're going for a ride. This is going to be scary. And I decided I want to prep you for some scariness by showing you something. Oh, man. You know, I love watching those videos where people get scared and they film it. But they use some really weird, gross stuff to scare people. And I thought, you know what? There's some other ways to show scariness. And so we're going to watch, for some reason, cats are really scared of cucumbers. Let's take a look at some cats' scary encounters with that terrifying vegetable. And that's why they're scared of vegetable. There are people who put these videos together, and they have some videos that are hours and hours of this, of cats getting scared by cucumbers. There we go. Yes. Oh, man. We don't know why. I don't even want to know why. It's just funny. But they're legitimately scared of a cucumber that happens to be right behind them. So I had my friend, his name is Josh. He lives back in Kansas. He's got this old cat that I hate. His name is Tiger. And apparently he hates it, but he has this love-hate relationship with it. And I said, you know what you should do? You should do the whole cucumber thing with your cat. He's like, yes, I should. Because he's like mean, like me, like this, okay? And he's like, I should do it. And he took the cucumber and he snuck it up on his cat. He tried to film it, and his cat did nothing. And he's like, this is so disappointing. I captured my cat just looking at it. And he said, it just proves my cat just doesn't care about anything. But scariness. We're talking about the scariest story in the Bible, and we're asking this question in regards to our giving. In God we trust. Is there anything wrong with just giving some? You know, we all do this, and as we were looking at Ananias and Sapphira, they were making plans. They had some property. They understood. They attended church, and they saw everybody was being generous, and they're saying, wow, look at all the needs being met. And they're like, hey, we got some property too, and maybe we should sell it. So they put it up on the market, and they put it up for sale, and they got a good amount of money for it. And then they decided together, hey, instead of doing what everyone else was doing and giving all of it, how about we just keep back part of it? Let's just hold back just a little bit. We don't need to let anybody know about this. We're just going to give part of it, and we're going to present it, you know, tomorrow at church. And this is where we find them, that they're saying, hey, you know what? We want to give. We want to be generous. We want to trust God, but for some reason, we don't. Did you catch that? For some reason, they don't trust God. It's like they said, yes, God, I'll trust you with my salvation. I'll trust you with my eternal destination. I'll trust you with my healing and my health and my safety and my children. But hey, when it comes to money, I just want to take 1 foot. Just put it over here. You know what? I'm just going to have like an emergency fund, you know? Yeah, just, you know, if they had Swiss bank accounts then, it's kind of what they did. They just kind of put it off to the side and said, no one needs to know that we just put a little bit over there just in case, right? And if we were to just look at this from a surface level, be like, hey, I can understand. I can relate. It's hard to fully trust. I mean, that's like a big step. That's like instead of these little steps coming up on the stage, imagine if it was like 4 feet long, you know, I had to do like one of those pole vaulting things to get up onto the stage. That's a big jump. This is how they're viewing it, saying, entrusting God in this area is like pole vaulting. It's not like walking up a step to get to your next level. And so we really can't blame them, or can we? You see, the root of Ananias and Sapphira's giving issues was not whether or not they had money. It was not whether or not they were going to give. It really wasn't related to how much they were going to give, but it was rooted in this, in whether they trusted God with their needs. Speaking of scary stories, I grew up in Florida. In Florida, you get some really nasty thunderstorms and occasional hurricane. Okay, when it comes to hurricane time, you just leave. You just go as far inland as you can. But when it comes to thunderstorms, they can be awful. Now I was about 10 years old, and this all of a sudden this thunderstorm came up. And we're talking a scary thunderstorm where they're saying, hey, this is going to do hail. This is going to be extreme lightning, extreme winds. That it's going to feel like a hurricane. And they're telling everybody, barricade yourself in the house. You know it's serious when you got to find the middle of the house and you got to stick the mattresses off your bed up against the doors. So there's no windows or anything. They're saying you got to get safe. And I remember sitting there with my mom and my dad and my two younger brothers, and I was scared. I'm like, what is going on? You can hear the rain. You can hear the wind. You can hear the thunder. I've never heard thunder so loud. And what does it mean if thunder is really loud? it's really close. And you know, you kind of learn how to see how far away lightning is by the time it takes from seeing the flash to hearing the bang. And when it starts going flash bang, that's really, really scary because it means it's like right there. And so we're like covered in blankets and pillows in this hallway, barricaded in, just wondering, are we going to live or are we going to die? And we're hearing the flash bangs. And then it happened. Lightning struck our house while we were in there. And I will never forget the sound that it made. It was a huge burst of light, but the sound that it made, it sounded to me like if we were to take these metal blinds right here and we were to take them and go, that was loud, wasn't it? That's what it sounded like. And it kind of freaked me out. In a moment of hearing that noise, I thought, wow, what just happened? All our blinds are going crazy. And then it dawned on me. We used to have metal blinds, but our house had just got renovated and we only have shades. There's not a metal blind in the house. And then I was really freaked out. What was that? You see, right before it happened, we lost all power to the house. It was dark. We saw the flash. We heard that sound, that awful sound. I don't know how to get any scarier than this. And as scary as this experience was for me, my wife can top my story. And why? Because she grew up in Kansas. And she actually experienced a tornado that wiped away her house while she was in the tornado shelter underneath their house. That's got to be really scary. And she describes parts of it where the wind was so strong that she said our family, we all lived near on this farm all together, and they're in the tornado shelter and the cellar, and she said we had some big uncles that were trying to keep the doors down, and the wind, the tornado was lifting them up in the air as they were doing, and she's like, we're about to get sucked out of here into the tornado. Her mom, her dad wasn't there, it's just her and her sister and the rest of their family, their extended family. She said in that moment, the tornado knocked down a huge tree and it landed right on the door, and they were all kept safe inside. Talk about being scared for your life. I was scared that lightning had struck, and we began looking around the house to see what was that. And when we went over into the kitchen, which was just on the other side of that door that we had that mattress up against, we opened it up, and there our telephone was hanging on the wall, and it had a wire going down, and there was burn marks all over the telephone wire that our telephone got struck by lightning. It was only 10 feet away from where we were. Scary stuff. And as scary as those two experiences are, and those are real life natural disasters, there's something even scarier as we continue to read in Acts chapter 5. Because here we just remember, everyone's being generous, everyone's doing something. They want to get in on this. They have some land. They sell it. They decide they're going to give the money from the sale of that land. And then they decide, you know, we're going to keep some of it back, but we're still going to give. And they agreed together to do it. So they went to the church. They went to talk to Peter. They went to give their offering the next day. And here's what Peter said to them. Verse 3. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. Verse 5. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. He had lied about his giving, saying, yeah, here I am, I'm being generous, here I am, I'm giving, look at us, here we go. And it was just him by himself, his wife wasn't there. He's like, here you go, Peter, here you go, we sold some land, we want to be generous too. Wow, grateful people give generously, here we go. And Peter's like, dude, you lied. Don't you think God knows exactly what you're doing? Do you not fear God? Boom, lights out. He died. I don't know about you, but I've read this several times, and this is one of those stories that you don't really hear talked about in church. I've been a pastor for 22 years, and this is the very first time I've ever taught on this story. Why? Because this story is scary. This is saying, wow, this guy tried to lie about his giving, to try to misrepresent his gift in his giving to God, and God said, you're done. This harsh penalty came because they tried to present themselves as generous Jesus followers, saying, yeah, we love God. Yeah, we're obedient. Yeah, you talk about tithing. Amen. Pastor, talk about tithing. But when they were actually doing it, God said, I know exactly what you are doing. I know exactly what you are all about. I know what's going on. And in that moment, God said, I require life. The story continues. Because it doesn't just end there with Ananias losing his life. But they say that some young men in the church came in and picked up Ananias, and they carried him away into some sheets. They had wrapped him up, and they went and dug a hole for him outside, and they put him in the hole, and they buried him. Now, my wife loves whenever I share a story about burying people, because that's really how you say is burying, not burying. We don't strawberry people. We bury, B-U-R. Yeah, I have fun with that. I love my accent. But all this happened in a moment, in a service, in a time of giving, and boom, someone drops dead, and it's like, okay, guys, can I have the ushers come forward and bring the blankets? It's time for our weekly burial. Can you? Wait a second. We just collected offering a second ago. And many of you decided I'm honoring God with my tithes and offerings. And God knows exactly where you're at and what you're doing and what's going on. And what if all of a sudden you got called out on your giving and the penalty of it was you can no longer live? Boom. You're dead. And then we say, ushers, here's another one. Gonna go bury, and we got some grass out there in the back, right? His wife wasn't even there at church yet. She must have been late. The Bible goes on to explain that she came to where they were at 3 hours later. And Sapphira comes in, and Peter's like, hey, Sapphira, hey, come here. I need to talk to you about something. And the Bible says Sapphira had no idea what had happened. Kind of sad. Peter said, hey, I've got a question for you, Sapphira. Is it true that you guys sold this piece of property for this much money and decided to give that much money here to help here at the church? And her answer was, yes, exactly. That's what we decided. That's what we're doing. And Peter's like, how could you not only lie to the Holy Spirit, but to agree to do it together? He said, look, right at the door right now in the back are the young men who just buried your husband, and they're about to come and get you too. And with that, she dropped to the floor dead, and they buried her. Wow. Is there a problem with just giving some? The answer is yes. But now you might be sitting here saying, okay, Pastor, you're kind of scaring me here. Remember, I told you to put on your lap belt, right? Your seat belt. We're talking about scary stuff here because we're looking at saying, wow, why did God require the lives of this husband and wife who were giving? They were giving an insane amount of money. But they had agreed to hold something back. And here's what we need to know. If we don't remember anything else about what I say today, I need you to remember this thing. It's in the box on your notes today. But I want you to pencil something in extra of it. Because it says your obedience in giving shows God exactly where your trust is. But it doesn't stop just at there. I need you to insert something between your and obedience. Put one of those little tents, you know what I'm talking about? It says, hey, add this word in and write this word above it. Your complete obedience in giving shows God exactly where your trust is. Let me give you a newsflash. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need it. The church at this time in Acts chapter 5 didn't need Ananias and Sapphira's offering. They didn't need them. They were not required to go sell their land and to give it. But as followers of God, as followers of Jesus, God has set aside something to let him know, do we trust you? See, we're asking the question, in God we trust, and we put a question mark on it because by our actions, we throw the question mark on that. In God we trust. We're willing to trust him with a lot of things, but it turns out that money is one of the hardest things to trust God with. With our needs, with our plans, with our survival, with our family, just everything that's related to money. And God's saying, if you will give me your first and your best, I'll make sure you are taken care of. We just read that in Proverbs chapter 3. Honor God with everything that you own. Give your first and give your best. And then his promise is your barns will be overflowing, your wine vats, they'll be brimming over. He's saying, this is the way, the tangible, actual way you can show me that you trust me. You know, I was in the military a long, long time ago and had to go to basic training. And it turns out a lot of 18-year-olds right now are starting their basic training journey. They're graduating from high school, and I'm seeing on Facebook that they're going off and doing their training. And it's scary doing something new and strange and having people yell at you, but also part, there's a distinct strategy and purpose to everything they do as part of the training. And one of the things that they want to do is they want you to build trust in those that are beside you. That they're not just there with you experiencing the same thing, but they want you to trust the soldier to your left and the soldier to your right. And so part of basic training and what they do with every soldier is they'll do team building exercises or trust exercises where you have to trust each other. And I don't know if you've ever seen or ever heard of those trust falls where you got to be up high and lean over and fall back and trust that people are going to catch you back here. It is a scary thing to do, especially when it's pretty high up, and that's what they made us do. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I can trust these guys. Now, it'd be one thing if they were like holding a net, right? It'd be another thing if they were holding like a parachute or something. But you know what they make them do? They make them just stick their hands out like this. They can't even be holding hands. And you're looking at that and say, okay, here's some strangers that I don't really know that are in the same boat as me, and they want me to turn around and just fall back with my arms folded this way, and they're not even holding hands. And every soldier has to do this. They have to fall back. And the crazy thing is that when they actually do it, there's enough hands there to support someone's weight, and they don't fall to the ground. And trust is built. And God is saying to you, and he's saying to me, saying, where's your trust at? Do you trust me? Are you holding anything back? Don't hold anything back. Show me you trust in me, and then let me prove it to you and how I take care of you. But we're talking basic levels of following Jesus here. And that's why we put in this part where we say your complete obedience in giving shows God exactly where you're trusted. Not the fact that I gave something. Hey, God, I gave you something, so you're going to take care of me, right? But, you know, I got this over here, so if you don't come through, I'm okay. When we talk about giving God our first and our best, the Bible's referring to saying, hey, will you give the first 10% of everything that you get, and will you give it back to me? And will it be the first thing that you do, the best thing that you have right there? And I'll tell you what, 10% is a big number. We illustrated this last week when we had the fruits and vegetables, and we said, hey, the first part of the 10 goes over here to God's table, and the rest goes to our table to manage. And God's promise is that if you honor me with your first and your best, which puts you in a vulnerable spot where it says, God, I have to trust you because I'm going to try to operate with less than what I started out with. And God's saying, will you trust me with my promise of blessing over the 90% you have, or do you want to say, hey, I'm smart enough, I can figure this out on the unblessed 100%? Your first and your best. Are you telling God you trust him? Now, as the result of the story of Ananias and Sapphira, here they are, they're dead. Everyone heard this story. It shook the church. It shook not just the church, but everywhere in the community. They're like, whoa, dude, that God guy is for real. He's not playing around. As a matter of fact, in verse 11, it says this, by this time, the whole church and, in fact, everyone who heard these things had a healthy respect for God. They knew God was not to be trifled with. It is too easy to take God's lack of action towards us as it's okay with whatever we're doing. Hey, I'm not giving everything that I'm supposed to, but hey, as long as I don't hear anything, as long as the church doesn't say anything, as long as that pastor doesn't, you know, say words that like rip me right here, as long as God doesn't strike me down dead in the moment, I guess it's okay, right? Hey, I'm just being generous. I'm being a good follower of Jesus. But you know, Ananias and Sapphira, they were followers of Jesus. These were not snake people. These were not evil people. They were followers of Jesus. They were a part of the church. They were wanting to be generous, but they held back. We've been saying a lot this series that scripture, Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, says, honor God with all you have. Give God your first and your best, and this is what I'll do. But I think it's important to understand why are we zoning in on this scripture? And we need to back up for a second and read it in context. A little further on, beginning in verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3, and it's the whole reason why we have this in God we trust. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. We're talking about a full circle picture of trust God, and he's going to take care of you. Trust him in all these areas, and he's going to take care of you. This is a promise of God. In one other section of scripture, he even says, why don't you test me out in this? If you're not doing it, why don't you test me and see what I'm really saying is true? Why don't you, you know, prepare yourself for one of those trust falls? And why don't you just let go and see what happens? Maybe you need to do it off the first step here, right? But you got to start somewhere, saying, God, I do trust you. I want to erase the question mark, and I really want to say, in God, I trust. We honor him with our finances, and I promise you, he'll take care of you. This room is full of people in it who are on a journey looking for their next level with God. And God's saying, hey, can you take care of this basic level? I got places I want to take you. I want things I want to do for you. There's things that I have for you to do. I have purpose and focus for your life. I have a mission for you. But can you just take care of the basic training? The way we're able to show God that, hey, I'm still in the bucket. Hey, I am trusting you completely. I'm not holding back. Maybe today is the day we need a wake-up call to say that God is not someone to mess around with. That our existence here is really a blessing from him. That in a moment, could he require our life? Yes, he could. We don't know. But he is saying, hey, if you belong to me and I belong to you, can you just show me? Can you just show me? I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes, as we reflect on what we just heard. I want you to think about this for a moment. Ask the question, where you're at. You see, God's looking for our complete obedience, not just some of our obedience. He knows exactly where you are. He knows your story. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. And it may not be on display for everybody here, and everybody here may have a high opinion of you and how great of a Jesus follower you are or not, but all of that doesn't matter. It only matters what one person thinks of you, and that's God himself. And he knows down to the very core of your soul exactly where you are at and what you're up to. He knows your heart. He knows where your trust is. And so you need to ask yourself this morning, am I showing God that I trust him completely? Do I actually recognize that God blesses me with life every day? That he takes care of me? That he wants to? That he promises he will? Why can't I just let go and trust? Is fear controlling me today? And whatever it is that's keeping you from going to your next level with God, today's the day to give that up. Today's the day to kind of hold that in your hand and say, God, I believe you're real even though I don't act like it all the time. But I'm giving this area to you. And I'm going to start trusting in you. And I know it's kind of hard, but God, I know you require it of me. And you want my complete obedience. I give it to you. So God, we pray to you today. Each person here is talking to you. Everyone has a moment with you, God, where we say, hey, it's time to get real. That God, this is not just something that's made up. It's not some hoops we just jump through and something we achieve. But God, it's something that's real and that you do care about us, that you want to take care of us, that you want to provide for us. But you're saying, are you all in? Are you all in? Do you trust me? Do you trust me in this area? Will you allow me to prove it to you? So God, all around this room, we're saying, God, I give it to you. Whatever it is, tell God that you give it to him. Whatever it is for you, whatever is holding you back from trusting in him, wherever you're at, what's keeping you from your next level with God, say, God, I give this to you. I recognize you're real. I recognize that you're not someone to mess around with. That this isn't a game. This isn't a media thing. This isn't a story. This isn't make-believe, but this is real. We've talked a lot about fear today. But there's a healthy aspect of fear. It's acknowledging all that God is and what he's capable of and honoring him. The Bible says that fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. Recognizing who he is and what he can do is recognizing that is the beginning spots of being able to be wise and to do things that honor him. So God, we don't claim to be afraid of you today, God. We claim to fear who you actually are and know that you love us. You want to take care of us. God, we want to jump in that bucket for you and say it's all of us. That's all that we are. Help us to honor you. Help us to prove over and over again that we trust you. God, allow us to give you the opportunity to show us that our barns will be overflowing, that our wine vats will be over the brim. Allow us to give you the opportunity to prove that to us. Help us to be obedient completely. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And while we still have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we talked at the very beginning of this saying, hey, if you came for hope, yes, there is hope, and it's found in Jesus. And today is the day that you can receive that hope. And the Bible describes that we all have messed up. We all are born apart from God, and our soul aches for it. We try to figure out life on our own. We try to figure it all out. We try to say, I'm smart enough and I can be good enough, and maybe this God thing really isn't real, but you know, I don't want to take any chances. But let me tell you, we just read the scariest story in the Bible where God is real and God can require your life at any moment. And if your time was up at this moment, what would happen to you? You see, God longs to have a relationship with you. He longs for you to be a part of the family. He loves you so much that before you even born, he sent Jesus, his son, to pay the price for you, for everything that you would do wrong. That he does have a purpose and a plan for you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you a future. He's got such great things for you, but it starts with a decision. And saying, God, I give it to you. I decide today. I give it to you. I'm going all in. I'm putting my whole self in the bucket. And I'm giving it all to you, all of me. Everything about me, everything I own, everything I am, all my experiences, all my doubts, all my fears, all my frustrations, all my relatives, all my jobs, my skills, everything about me, God, I give to you. And I promise you, God could do something amazing with it, but it starts with the decision saying yes. I'm deciding for Jesus. Would you like to pray with me today? If you would like to start this journey today, just lift your hand. Let me know so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to invite you to pray, repeating after me. We're all going to pray together. No one prays alone here at Focus Church. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. I want to be all in for you. Give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life as I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.